Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Get a head start on 2025 with CNBC's Big January, the hottest tech event, CES, from Las Vegas. The data, the numbers, the jobs report, and meet the future of biotech and pharma at JPM Healthcare. Check out the Amex Golf Tournament from California, Inauguration Day, and the meeting of world leaders in Davos. Plus, the first Fed decision of the year. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Chris played that clip from Jeff Ulbrich. So there's been a lot that has gone on this year with the Jets. We talked about it at nauseam. It has been a colossal fail from top to bottom. And if you want to know, at least in my opinion, you could point to Rob Saleh being fired as to why things went completely sideways. But I would take you back to that time when he was fired after they came back from London. People were ticked off and wanted him fired. Right. So that is kind of what it is. To me, the biggest issue, one of the biggest issues this year in terms of the owner, really, it's his team, so I can't say overstepping his bounds, but the owner not allowing the GM to do his job, which is why the GM is probably relieved that he got the hell out of here and was fired, was the Hassan Reddick situation.
Right.
None of us know exactly what happened, but it certainly seems like when the Jets made the trade for Hassan Reddick, there were assurances that he was going to come in and play, and if things went well, we will talk about a deal. And he even said it at the podium when he was introduced, I'm here to play football, and never did. And Joe Douglas, at least outside looking in, looked to me like he was holding firm on that line. We had a deal. You are not abiding by the deal. Sit home. And then the owner decides, we're not good enough. We need Hassan Reddick. And Reddick's been a ghost. He has done nothing this season. Nothing. So if you want to draw a line in the sand, maybe if you want to, to me, it's one of the biggest issues of this season with Woody Johnson. You could go Aaron Rodgers, Rob. So to me, it's the way he handled Hassan Reddick as opposed to the way Joe Douglas was handling it.
Yeah, it's tough, right? Because I think if you look at it from this standpoint, once Jermaine Johnson went down, if Hassan Reddick was already in the building, now you have two bookends because Will McDonald started to come along, and now you have to you would have to think Hassan Reddick would play a lot better. He only has a half a sack.
Yeah.
Right? But there's some things that, having watched him, he has done really well, being able to set the edge. He's physical at the point of attack. He does a great job of mixing it up, and especially in the stunt games, getting guys open. And to their pass rushing lines. However, it's frustrating because one thing we saw from Hassan Reddick when he was at Eagle was his ability to get after the quarterback, mm-hmm. right? He averaged 10 sacks a season, and he played over 67% of his snaps. So he was a guy you can trust on third down and flat out go get it, and he was reliable. That hasn't happened. And what's crazy, you know, he hasn't been a media darling. He's not an open book.
No.
He doesn't want to talk about anything other than the Jets. He doesn't want to talk about why he set out, what worked for him, his reasoning for all of it. He doesn't go into the weeds. So I'm going to be honest. He may be, you know, Sauce had mentioned one of those guys that have checked out. He may be one of those guys he's talking about, but just hasn't said his name. So I don't know. It's interesting because I think Hassan Reddick, the Hassan Reddick for the Eagles, I thought was, I was like, man, we got a guy. Like, I liked him. You know, a local guy from Temple, balled out. But him coming to the Jets just hasn't worked out. And I think Ulbrich is just trying to be a good guy and save face because he knows he's going to be gone.
No, and he's been doing that nonstop, which we understand, I suppose. It's the Jets and my stance at the time when he was holding out and the Jets weren't bringing him in. My point was always the Jets don't owe him anything. He's never taken or played a snap for them. And to me, if you don't want to play, don't play. Sit home and get fined every day and give up the money that you should be making. That's on you.
And the deal was weird, right? Because to my understanding, the Jets received a third round, right?
I'd have to go back and look at the details.
Yeah. But
yeah, I mean, the whole situation stunk. It didn't. For whatever reason, whoever got the guy that they traded for and the guy that did the press conference when he arrived here, something changed.
Because I think his team failed him.
His agent,
to be honest,
his agency,
they didn't tell him the whole story. And I think Joe from, and you got to give Joe Douglas a lot of credit because I actually saw him in the offseason. And we didn't talk about Hassan Reddick. However, a lot of the stories coming out of our building, he was very adamant that we're not going to have a deal. We're not going to talk money. We're not going to talk anything until your feet are in cleats and you're in this building. And it just didn't happen. And then what made it weird, Hassan was seen, like, over in Japan or something. Like, he was taking trips. Like, while this team was trying to figure, like, save its season, it seemed like he had his attention elsewhere. And then there was questions, well, if you do get him back, how well of shape is he going to be? And then he put out a video clip of him, you know, stepping over hurdles and doing drills. And I'm like, that does nothing for me. Like, if you don't have
not football.
Yeah, if you don't have another grown man pushing against you, that's not football to me.
And so, then the owner swoops in and tries to save the day and blew it.
Yeah, and it didn't work.
No, and then you got a guy in the building, and Joe Douglas, who was trying to do it his way. It's what you pay him to do. You know, it's a good thing they fired him, because he wasn't allowed to do his job this year, essentially.
Well, once they fire Rex Hogan, I think Joe D knew it was over for him. Fair. And then, you know, I don't know how true the story is about Woody blocking the Jerry Jeudy situation, if that was a thing. I don't know, you know, if Woody, there's speculation that he benched Tony Adams. I don't know. Tony Adams was struggling prior to that, so it's interesting. I would like to know the story if he really was interested in benching Aaron Rodgers while he was hurting this season, because Aaron Rodgers in the beginning of the season to where he's at right now is two different quarterbacks, right? Just from a mobility standpoint, looks way more confident.
He was a statue early in the season.
Correct.
Now he's moving around a lot better.
So I think there's still a lot underneath the hood that we got to find out, especially in regards to the season, but. Listen, I think Ulbrich, when we kind of talked about this behind the curtain, this was bigger than him.
So in line of the coaching thought, so we were sitting here yesterday and we saw the report that I guess Rex told somebody that he expects to interview. Didn't really surprise us. I mean, Rex has been lobbying to get an interview and get that job back. I do actually expect Rex to meet with the Jets at some point.
At least to have a conversation.
For sure. The Ron Rivera one then comes out. And so it's funny because I asked you yesterday, do you hire the GM, let the GM pick the coach, or do you hire the coach and have him have input on the GM so he gets the players he wants? And you said it could be done either way. It looks like the Jets are going to go coach first, which is, I guess it's not completely abnormal, but it's not the way things are usually done.
Yeah, it's weird for Ron Rivera to possibly be in the conversation because I think he was 4-13 his last year with the Commanders, and they gave him personnel control. Right. So which is, I don't know if that's his strong suit. I'm always a fan of getting a GM first, finding a structure, find a plan, and then go get a head coach that the GM loves and feels like he can like tap into and have that type of alignment. So I don't know. I really don't understand the reasoning. I just know how I would have done it. And I would go get a guy who I feel like has a plan and has a vision for the team.
At this point, with these two names being thrown into the mix, obviously, yesterday. And again, I think that was Rex more so than anybody saying that he's going to interview, though we do expect that. How fast do you think, they're clearly are working on it now, you would think, obviously. How fast do you think the Jets move on this?
Like
the season, all right, so the season's over Sunday. There are going to be more openings. We know about the ones that are out there already. There will be more openings.
Bears, Raiders, Jets.
Of course. We expect the Raiders to move on.
Yep.
We know about the Saints with Rizzi as the interim head coach. There are openings. There will be a few more, you would think. There's usually anywhere from 5 to 8, I would say, every year. We know for certain of a few of them. Do you think because there's a couple of big names out there, Mike Vrabel being one, obviously. Do you think the Jets are ready to move, like, next week? Or do you think this is something that drags on?
I think
on?
They have to be. You got to start preparing for the draft. You got to kind of comb through this roster, see what you have, what you don't have. You got to get a guy in here who, and I thought you said something yesterday that was important. A guy that the fan base is going to be excited about.
Yeah.
I think we forget that aspect of it. Like, the locker room has to love, the building has to obviously, but the fan base in itself has watched multiple coaches walk in this building and get set on fire and walk out. You know what I mean? So there has to be a coach that can win over this fan base that all right, we finally got a guy. We know who he is. We know what he's about. Like, Ron Rivera is, I think, in his 70s.
He might be.
You know what I mean? Like, that's, I don't know how.
Now, Ron Rivera is not, no offense to Ron Rivera, he's not exciting anybody. He's
that's
just
my
not.
Point.
I mean,
right. And I'm not trying to be rough on Ron Rivera.
No, he had a rough time of it in Washington. he took the team to the Super Bowl in Carolina, so he's got a little bit of a resume for sure. But at this stage, he's not exciting anybody in the Jet fan base. The names are what the names are. And I do think Vrabel, first and foremost, would be the name that I think would get the fan base most excited. I think Gruden would, and I do believe Brian Flores is a name too. And I think Rex, not all Jet fans, but I think there's a big contingent of Jet fans that would be excited to see Rex come back one more time.
Well, yeah, I mean, his first two seasons as a Jets head coach, he took him to the AFC Championships, right? And that's the thing, if you look at both teams, if you look at the Jets in its entirety, like, there was a moment in time where we had a really good offensive line, a quarterback, a damn good defense, and Rex was the face of all of that. So if you're a Jets fan and you grew up during that time, you're like, I just wanted a glimpse of that. I wanted when we were able to walk into any building to feel like we were the bullies on the block instead of being, you know, chow for other teams.
Yeah,
I think that's what Jets fans want more than anything. And Rex was, you know, he was brass, he was in your face, and he got it done.
And all of that won't change. The one thing I do hear, though, from friends of mine that are Jet fans is, boy, it's a long time since he's coached. And that,
yeah,
I think,
ball is ball. I think he's still very much tapped in. I think a lot of guys, one thing Rex, and having, you know, being able to have him played with him in the forum, Rex knows how to adapt. He knows how to tap. He's not some old guy on the shelf like, here. He's not that type of guy. So
he could be the guy. You never know.
I like him.
We'll find out.
But I do say this, and I've said this before. I wouldn't let Rex pick his personnel. I think you got to put a proper team around him so Rex can just solely be Rex.
Well, and that's why maybe the fit is good, because they do have talent on this team, which we've discussed.